is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
No way!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Bigney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm Pastor Brad Bigney, but I'm doing better than I'm normally doing, and the show's going to be way better than it normally is because, once again, Vicki Bigney has agreed to join me because there's more I want you to understand about her. I want you to know her a little better and hear some of her story. You know, how was she shaped to think the way she did and to be who she was as we met each other in 1983? So, Vicki, thank you once again for taking some time to be with me and let our listeners have a better idea who you are. So talk a little more about, by the time you go to college, you do have a little more awareness, typically as a young adult, of how you're put together and what you've been through, what you value, how you think, how you approach life.
Right.
Just give us a little more understanding of who you are, what you valued, how you were wired, how God made you.
Well, I think from growing up in the home of two teachers, it really wasn't until several years ago that my sister brought out the point. Me and my sister and my brother have all taught like preschool. In fact, my brother's teaching Sunday school. My dad taught Sunday school for 50 years. And the church I grew up in was Sherwood, the one that makes all the movies. So once again, really super good church with great Bible teaching, great leaders, wonderful pastors. So that was kind of my beginning. And my dad was such a good teacher. My mom was a teacher. So we would just be driving down the road. My dad would say, "Where do you think that road goes? Or what do you think that metal building is over there? And wonder how they use it." So he always had this kind of questioning of wonder, like, how did that happen? And how did this happen?
So exploratory.
Right, exploratory, yes.
We think, we notice little details.
Exactly. Okay. And so I think not only notice little details, but also notice people. And once again, I think I got that from my dad because, I mean, I can almost cry telling the story because my dad's no longer living, but he would just say, if he saw a woman on the side of the road and her car is broken down, he'd just say, "Oh, that poor lady, like, wonder what she missed going through." And Vicki, people have hard lives. And I think growing up in South Georgia, that was, I mean, you know, we would be driving down a road and I would see, you know, little houses that don't even have paint on them. There's no air conditioning. I mean, people had rough lives. And so I think he saw that and his heart was merciful toward that. So I think growing up in a home like that, I had a lot of those similar leanings as far as noticing people and noticing people that were hurting. And
because even if they weren't hurting, I had never experienced anyone quite like Mr. Dill until I married Vicki. And so I had the joy of seeing it. Towards last decade of his life, he was so ill and in so much pain, I didn't see much of him. But I'm so glad when I married Vicki, he already had some injuries. He had fallen out of a tree, so he was limited. But I saw him in action, and I'd never seen anyone that cared about people so much. So if we were in Burger King and we've gone there for lunch, the man's not going to turn around with his tray at the counter and make it to our booth.
Right.
I would always think, "Where's Mr. Dill?" And I look, he's across the room at somebody else's booth.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even necessarily mean he knows them.
Oh, he doesn't. Right.
It's likely he might because he taught public school for, 42 years?
Yes.
Then he taught the same Sunday school class at Sherwood Baptist for 42 years. Was it second graders?
Yes.
First graders?
He taught me. Yes.
So everyone in the world knows him, but it still might be someone he doesn't know. And he would just say
Absolutely.
Things like, "Tell me about the shirt you have on." Or if he saw that they'd walked in from a pickup truck, he'd be like, "Tell me about that truck you're driving."
Right.
You saw that a lot growing
right.
up, just his people orientation.
Mm-hmm. He was very others focused. And so I think that was something that he didn't purposely say, "I want to teach you this," but just seeing his love for other people, I kind of got some of that also. And I think that's a really, that has shaped me into being who I am.
So noticing people, just noticing them, A.
Right.
And then caring enough to draw them out.
Right.
What else about you shaping influence?
I remember as a teenager that we had a lady at our church. Once again, wow, thank you, all you church people that teach Sunday school, that teach youth, that teach children. Such a valuable asset. And those,
if you're listening and you're a young mom or dad and you do not have your kids in church, please consider
absolutely
becoming a part of a local church. You have no idea the influence of more is caught than taught. And just seeing a Mr. So-and-so or a Mrs. So-and-so week after week after week that squatted down and smiled and called me by name. Each of us, and you're going to hear it from Vicky, were hugely shaped by people at church when we were young. And sometimes I feel like today with the pace and the speed and with technology, parents can be guilty of, I'm throwing all these great Christian videos, VeggieTales on the TV for my kids. We've got so many other ways to introduce them to biblical truth. I don't think you realize the high value of real people in real time in your kids' lives consistently. So
yeah, I often joke, since my dad taught Sunday school, we would all ride together. I only live three blocks from the church. But there was never a question of, are we going to church or what time we're leaving? Because I knew the answer is, yes, we are going. And we always leave at 9:15. So you need to be ready because we will be leaving.
Yeah.
So, you know, we would get there and we would, and like you said, that's so true. I mean, I can name right off the top of my head, you know, Miss Hamby, Mr. Hamby, Miss Daisy Markey. I mean, so many people that impacted my life that to this day, I'm just so grateful for. And I think of a lady, Miss Heyman. So when I was a maybe probably 9th or 10th grade, she taught a class in training union on Sunday nights to any young women that wanted to come. And I just remember she taught us all sorts of things on marriage and the family. And I just thought it was fascinating. And one thing she said, which
it was just young girls.
Yes, yes, just young girls. So, you know, in my mind,
she probably thought she was ancient.
I did.
But how old was she probably
50,
actually?
Ancient.
Now that we're 61, it's like, it's funny when you look back and think, oh man, she was old. And like, no, she wasn't.
But even that, you know, that took her time, that took her preparation. But I remember one thing that my sister and I still talk about, and I even tell my friends here, she said, you know, girls, and I mean, sometimes you wake up in the morning and you just need to put a little paint on the bar. And she was talking about wearing makeup. You know, it doesn't have to be lots, but you know, it just makes you feel better about yourself when you put a little paint on the bar. And so sometimes I'll talk to my sister and say, well, there's no paint on the barn yet, but I am up and I'm out of bed. So that's going to be a good day. And I do want to say, because I know probably a lot of listeners that we're talking to are first generation Christians. And I just want to say, you know, it's okay that you didn't have, you know, the traditional Christian background or maybe even going to church, but like you can start a new tradition new trajectory. I mean, there's such hope for you. So don't let Satan accuse you and make you feel like I missed out because I didn't see a loving marriage or I didn't have a church background. That's just not true. God can meet you right where you are. Yeah. And he's so kind and merciful to hear us when we call out to him. And he sees your heart for wanting to have a godly home, and he will definitely answer that. But I totally agree with Brad. Let church be a part of that.
And I'm glad you pointed that out, Vicky, because the day we live in, don't hear what we're not saying.
Absolutely.
I'm drawing Vicky out, and I just want you to know a little more who she was when I met her and what shaped her.
Or I was from a home that was, they're divorced.
God's grace.
Parents weren't married.
God's grace is unbelievably lavish to meet you where you are. You can change all that.
Yes.
And you could be the one that says, because I know it's high tech today, and so much seems so much cooler and funner and jazzier than Sunday school. But Vicky and I are regularly, we always come home and debrief from church. You know, I'm there for both services. She's there.
We drive separately.
Probably one and a half because she gets there super early to talk to people. But listen, we are still regularly grabbed by couples who will say, oh my goodness, we love the church, we're new. And then they'll say this next, and my kids or my child loves Sunday school, loves it. We're talking about kids getting in a room that I know sounds fuddy-duddy old, being taught a lesson by someone they don't even know, that's not a biological relative, One of my favorite stories was one Sunday that Vicky, why don't you tell it?
Yeah.
Vicky's so good about it, just approaching people and just talking it up with anybody. And so tell them what you saw one Sunday.
Well, one Sunday I was coming to church and there was a couple leaving the first service. And so it was a lady who was very pregnant with a little boy who was about four, and he was just crying hysterically. And in his little fist, his little chubby fist, he had a little Sunday school paper. And I said, well, what's wrong with Justin? What's happened to him? And she said, well, we're trying to work with him, but this happens every Sunday. He just hates leaving Sunday school. He hates leaving his teachers. And she said, in fact, I wasn't even going to come today because I'm very pregnant. I'm not feeling well. And he just cried and said, well, can you drop me off? And so that actually got me here.
And how old do you think he was?
Oh, he's probably like four. Yeah.
And so he had just said to his parents, because I grabbed his dad the next week when Vicky told me this story, and I just loved it. And I said, oh, my goodness, it was our favorite debrief story.
Absolutely.
And he said, yeah, sure enough. He said, we had a super busy weekend. I was exhausted. The wife wasn't feeling good. She's so pregnant. And we just said, we're not going. And he said, oh, okay. Well, you can drop me off.
I'll get ready.
I'll get ready because you can drop me off.
Yeah.
And that's not the only story we have.
No.
I haven't totally bought into or agree with it takes a village to raise a kid. If you're not careful, that can become, I don't have to be responsible. Others will do it for me. But there is some truth in community.
Certainly is.
God designed us to need community. And so church is part of that. We're going to take a break. We're talking to the lovely, delightful Vicky Bigney and trying to learn a little more. How had she grown up? What shaped her leading up to her marrying Brad Bigney? We're going to talk a little bit more about why did she think I was the one?
And we'll be back with more from Pastor Brad Bigney and his wife Vicky in just a moment as you're listening to Thrive. And you know, as I've been listening to them talk about how different they were and how God used those differences, it reminds me of a resource that we have available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. It's The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. And I've said it before, The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy should be recommended reading for every single Christian. It's not just another book about resolving conflicts. It's about actually turning those differences into opportunities for true life-changing reconciliation. So whether it's personal clashes or deeper issues, Sandy shows how to get beyond just calling a ceasefire to building actual real harmony. You can pick up The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of building something meaningful, that's what we're doing here at Fortis Institute, and you have been helping that building take place. Just like Brad talked about learning to embrace Vicky's people-oriented nature, we've embraced a bold new vision. We've brought together eight dynamic voices right alongside of Todd to help equip believers for today's challenges. And you can find all of the content that all of these new voices are creating absolutely free of charge on the Fortis Plus app. Download the app to your mobile device, or you can go to fortisplus.org. That works just as well. Think of it like having biblical perspective for life right in your pocket. Seven pieces of fresh new content are loaded every single day, including the news from yours truly and insights that are going to help you navigate this brave new world. And we owe everything that we've been able to do to our gospel partners, partners like you that have helped us grow this ministry, not just to keep the lights on, but to reach more people with life-changing biblical truth. And so whether you're task-oriented like Brad or people-focused like Vicky, there's a place for you in this mission and on our team as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And I know what you're thinking, here comes the funding pitch, but that's not what I'm doing here. Obviously, we do need financial support, but we also need prayerful support. We also need people who are evangelists for the mission. However you're able to join us as a gospel partner, we are forever grateful. Now, you can get more information about what it would look like to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now at fortisinstitutes.org. Now, let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, you've been listening to Thrive, and we've been getting to know Vicky Bigney a little better, how she grew up, what her home was like. and just things that had shaped her before she joined me in this thing called marriage. But why don't you touch a little more on your dad? Because so often, a young lady who says yes to a man, more than she realizes, she already has some thoughts about what men are like and how they'll treat her based on her father. Now, if it was horrible, please hear, God can give grace. But I think almost when it's wonderful, that can be challenging. And Vicky, I know your dad was a sinner, but he was a wonderful dad, was he not?
He really was.
Tell us a little more about how your dad shaped your thoughts about relationships and how men treat women.
Mm-hmm. I think one thing, he really taught us how to work. I remember our first job was picking up pecans out of my backyard in Georgia and selling them for 50 cents a pound. He had a garden that every Saturday he would make us get up and go work in, which of course we always dreaded. If we got up early enough, we could get our own cereal and watch cartoons, but then we would be drug out to the garden to dig potatoes and I had two other siblings who were also working in the garden, and I just remember it was so hot. I mean, this is South Georgia. It's very hot. There's gnats, there's mosquitoes, there's flies. And I just remember thinking, okay, does anyone want water? I'll go in and get water, because I just basically wanted to get out of working in the garden. But
So even though he was kind, and probably, would you say, had the gift of mercy?
Yes. Mercy and teaching.
That still didn't lead him to let you guys be undisciplined and lazy. So he taught you work.
No, he taught us a very strong work ethic. And my mom, too. Yeah. I haven't mentioned much about my mom, but I think really my dad was such a huge influence in my life. And my mom, too. But my dad also would just take time with people. Like you said about that in Burger King, I mean, he would notice people. He would show interest in them. And I think I got the gift of teaching from my dad. I saw him do that. Also the gift of mercy. You know, I do notice people. I think people are important. And then also, I just think the gift of encouragement. So to be honest, that's really the only reason I'm even doing
it. He was an encourager?
Yes, yes.
Lots of encouraging words.
I mean, yes. I mean, I remember even going to see him, but his last 3 years of life, he was in a nursing home in Georgia. And he never failed to pull me or Brad aside and just say, Vicky, I'm just so proud of you. Wow, I'm so proud of the kids you all have raised, 5 children, and I pray for you. And so he was always a great encourager.
Because I even remember, for years as a young pastor, or even after I wasn't so young, it was a long time before we made much of an income. Mm-hmm. And so we spent 2 weeks in vacation at their house.
Bless their hearts.
For decades with 5 kids.
In the words of my 5th grade teacher, Mrs. Daniels, what in the Sam Hill were we thinking? I mean, really.
But now as we look back, now that we've got grandkids, yes, we're like, oh, that was such a sacrifice and
so
a gift
truly
that they gave us.
Yes.
Because we would roll down there, this Tara station wagon full of kids, full of stuff. And I would take my 2 weeks vacation to stay there. And then I would rent a car and drive back to Cincinnati. And she would stay another week with the Blues Tara station wagon. So her parents had them there for 3 weeks.
I can't imagine.
I just always remember, as we would be coming in, Mr. Dill would be in his chair. Because as I had mentioned in an earlier show, he had injured his heel. And it just was a lifelong injury that wouldn't heal. And so he couldn't get up. But he would, you know, despite all his own health issues, despite his own troubles, that man never launched in. You know, you think of some old people, here we go. He's going to tell me all his woes. It was always like, well, Brad, how are your parents doing? Brad, tell me about the church. How's the church going? Brad, I pray for you. Mm-hmm. He was one of the most earnest, interested, draw you out.
Yes.
I care about you. The only way you were going to hear about him is if you asked him directly, well, how are you doing, Mr. Dill? And even then, he's not going to tie you up for long on that.
Yeah.
So caring about people, encourager.
Right.
Big encourager as you grew up.
Yes. And I think that's also something that, I mean, I just get so excited if I can see someone in a situation and hopefully speak into it and, you know, say, God's with you. He's faithful. He's present with you in this struggle. And once again, that's probably really one of the only reasons I want to do this show with you, is to give hope to people, because I just know our marriage was so bad. We didn't like each other. I wouldn't really say we hated each other.
Yeah, I don't think it was hate. It hadn't reached the point of
malicious. But there was no love. The
malicious.
Love was gone.
It was more flat. It was
very
just dead.
I wouldn't even say roommates, because, you know, roommates, you usually hopefully get along. We didn't even
really
get along.
I mean, you actually have to be a little more alive to be malicious.
Yes.
It was just, we'd both just settled into
hopelessness.
Absolute blah.
Mm-hmm.
Just blah.
Right.
And
So I think that's one reason that I just have such excitement to be here and hopefully share some of our story, just to be more vulnerable and really tell what was going on in my mind. Because it's once, like you said, it's great to hear from you, but I always think, what is the wife thinking?
And so grab a hold of this. What I'm hoping is happening is I want you to understand a little more who she is and what shaped her, leading to the point that she marries me. And no matter how hard you try, you will not fully know who you just said yes to.
True.
And so that's what I want you to hear. Vicky was attracted to me enough and prayed enough. She was a godly woman and got counsel enough that she thought she should say yes to me, but she had no idea. And here's what's interesting. Nor did I truly have an idea of who I truly was. I was not interested in people. Now I was interested in her because it served my purposes. It was a goal now. And so this woman had no idea you are about to marry someone who is so not like your dad. He is task oriented. He gets things done like on steroids, but he does not walk across the room and engage someone if there's not a purpose to it.
Right.
He's not a huge encourager with words. He just says what is necessary that moves us to the next action point.
Right.
That was who Brad Bigney was in 1983. And again, don't hear what I'm not saying. I wasn't a loser, because some of those qualities can allow you to be quite successful. So wherever I worked, whatever I did, whatever I laid my hand to, I could move it forward and there was a measure of success. So of course I thought, I'm great. But as we both look back, I remember there would be things that she would say to me sometimes on campus that literally befuddled me and confused me. She'd say, what happened to Fred Forster? I'm like, what do you mean, what happened to Fred Forster? She's like, well, I never hear you mention him. You were playing tennis. She's like, I remember I said, I don't have a class with Fred Forster.
That was baffling to me. Because I mean, growing up in Georgia, you know, I had friends that I'd gone to kindergarten with, elementary school, church friends that I was still keeping contact with years later. So, and that was just like baffling.
I've never had any awareness of anyone knowing someone in kindergarten that you still know now in your 20s. Are you kidding me? But notice the differences. I moved 13 times.
I was
going
to say,
up.
I think that was
13 times. I lived
part
in Pittsburgh, Spain, Chattanooga, Knoxville, Maryland. It's like, I just had to get accustomed to, you don't. It's not all about people, because people are going to change. So some of it was what was my experience growing up, but most of it was my hard wiring and my heart. But what we turned into a war, God meant for good.
Right.
God knew that I needed a wife who actually cared about people, who noticed people. So one of my favorite things to do with Vicky now is she'll be commending me. I'm so grateful. She'll be commending me, saying, oh, honey, you're so, I love it that you're this way. If she sees that I took time with an older person, or if she hears me talking about someone at the gym that I engaged, and I was able to encourage them. And I love to look at her and say, I learned that from you. So the very thing that at first was war, because I just kept thinking, why are you like this? Why do you do this? This is unnecessary. Let's just get things done. God knew I needed that.
And I think that was a huge difference. So in my home, I just saw my parents were very relational, and I assumed, wow, I vetted this guy. He loves Jesus. He's going somewhere. In fact, he's going to be in ministry. Yay. Can't wait for that. I assumed it would just be the same. And I thought, this is, you know, marriage is going to be easy. Like, it seemed easy. That was a huge mistake to come into marriage making.
And we're not that couple that gave no thought to it. You know, type A Brad Bigney, I had us go through a counseling cassette. This is going to date us. Cassette tape series by some Christian counselor. I don't remember his name now. That before you say I do, you know, I wanted us to do this so well and so right.
And I was all on board. I was like, yes, let's get a great foundation.
She was hungry and willing. And I remember we would spend Sunday afternoons listening to this next cassette tape. And there was companion workbooks that we did together so that we could actually get to know each other and talk through some of the most important things.
I think just like everything else in life, that it seemed to come pretty easy. Like, wow, we've had, quote, you know, success in life. This is just going to be a successful marriage. Can't wait.
Yeah.
Wow.
And yet,
not true.
Wow, it all hit the fan in a hurry. But oh, what God has done. I am so grateful that you said yes, baby.
Aw.
And I'm so grateful that by God's grace, neither one of us gave up.
Yes.
You're listening to Thrive, and you're listening to Brad and Vicky Bigney. Tell you a little more about this woman who said yes to this man. Because both of us have such a heart for what you can do. Because we know there are things you can do. He helped us. He can help you. You are not stuck. What would it take to move your marriage from barely alive to thrive? It's going to take humility. It's going to take some hard work. And it's going to take the Word of God and the Spirit of God in you. We have hope for you because of what He did for us.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.